Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 12. Leap. Willowback no longer let her cubs play by the river. Leap had begged her, promising to keep Snowborn safe from any prying eyes in the waters, but his mother had been unrelenting. When she hunted now, they had to stay in the cave, huddled in the fetid dark until she returned. After tasting the free air of the Bloodwood beyond the cave, it was the worst punishment Leap could imagine. He spent his time scratching at the walls, testing his claws against the stone and sticking his muzzle into the gaps he made to lose himself in the myriad scents within the dank rock. If he tried hard enough, he could imagine it to be something other than it was. Water, root, bark. He shaped the smells into a new scentscape, one where he could roam as far as he wanted. He travelled the world through those smells, retracing old scent paths or mapping the slopes of Cold Mountain, travelling between Highwood and Overreach, Blackwood and Cold River, imagining the routes he would take across the kingdom once he finally returned home. He could smell his paw against the loam of Highwood, the low pulse of fragrance from the bloodroot, and the scent of his fur brushing against the bark of oak and hawthorn and beech. The only thing he could not smell was his friends. He searched the stone for their memory, but nothing came back. He could imagine any tree he wanted within the scentscape that his claws drew from the cave walls. He could find granite and river rock and sandstone within its crystal flavours. He could walk the gravel tracks of Ulrock, pass the marshes of Highwater, gnaw at the bark of the Evenside tree wall, but the cave would only give him things and places. No living creature lay within the cacophony of smells he scratched from the stonework. No grey nose. No Brakefoot. In Highwood, he had never been far from where his father's ancestors had been buried. Wherever he walked in the Bloodwood, they had always been there, at the edges of his scentscape, their bones his ever-present guide on every scent path. Not so here in the north. The stone wall of the cave kept them from him. No matter how he scratched, how carefully he sent his mind probing the scents he found there, he could find no trace of them. When he walked the scent paths of Highwood in his mind, he was always alone. Snowborn didn't mind as much. He had been born in this cave, and coming back to its confines was little more than coming home. He treated the cave in much the same way that he always had, happy to have his limits marked clearly in stone and soil. He didn't claw at the rock like his brother. He didn't sit at the cave mouth, testing to see how far his senses could go. For most of the time their mother was out hunting, he seemed content to sit and doze in his favourite corner of the cave, oblivious to the possibilities that lay beyond. Their mother normally spent the morning hunting, returning to the cave by midday to share her spoils with them. Mostly she brought back rats, sometimes rabbits, occasionally something like a squirrel or the spiky remains of hedgehog. Once they prepared the kill, burying the skin and skull as tradition demanded, there was rarely much left to actually eat. More than once she had returned with skinless creatures, unrecognisable for the overpowering stink of blood and open flesh. Leap had to sniff at the carcasses carefully to identify those trace scents that would allow him to re-skin their slender bodies. One time she had bought him weasel. It too had been skinless, but he knew what it was from the marks on his mother's face. Deep lines scored her snout, always pointing to the eyes. Their mother had left the cave that morning at first light. Pickings had been thin in the last few days, and the meagre portions she had bought them did little to stave off the pangs of hunger that shook Leap in the middle of the night. Night was always the worst. If he kept himself busy enough during the day, he was often able to ignore the pains twisting in his belly by concentrating on his scratching or losing himself even further in wandering the scent paths of the mind, but at night, the sense of his internal self heightened, and all he could feel was the tightening echoes of his insides. His mother insisted that they had enough to stave off hunger blight. That was reassuring, at least. Their minds would not wither, even if their bodies did. And they were. He couldn't help but notice how thin his mother was getting below her fur. She would always tell them that she had eaten while on the hunt, that dragging back food for herself was a pointless waste of energy and that they should eat every scrap themselves. She must be eating something. No parent would risk hunger blight with two young cubs around. But still, whatever she was having was clearly not enough. Bones appeared in places he had never noticed them before. Her winter store of fat was gone. All that remained was her strength. And that was thawing like snow. If she'd only let him hunt with her, then they could double the meat they were bringing in, but the incident with the otter had done away with that idea. And she seemed stubbornly insistent that Leap stay with Snowborn inside the cave while she hunted. Leap wondered if his little brother realized what had happened to his first friend in the north. He dare not bring up the subject with him. Snowborn was still young enough that the connection between meat and living animals had not yet been made. Long may it remain so. But for Leap, the guilt of the otter was the least of his worries. Knowing that he had eaten something with its own mind was unsettling, but to think he had consumed any number of blood-marked creatures was far worse. Leap knew why his mother stripped the fur from her prey before she brought it to her children. He knew why she hid their sap-marked hides from him. He knew, even if he chose not to think about it. It was easier that way. Better to live in false ignorance than to see the ghosts. But the gods would always know. Snowborn uncurled himself from the corner and bleated for his brother's attention.
"I need to make water," he signed.
Outside the cave, the snow had all but melted. Daffodil bulbs swelled beneath the soil, soaking in the spring heat and sending up stubby green leaves that lengthened with the daylight. Winterberries sweetened the air, and there was a rumour of hellebores on the breeze from some nearby clearing, but the two bears dare not wander too far, in case their mother were to return and find them missing. Leap led his brother over the brow of the hill that backed onto their refuge and down to where the stream would take their scent and dilute it across the mild valley beyond. He waited patiently while Snowborn made his water, the little bear straddling the bourne with legs on either bank, struggling to make his water hit the stream, splattering his scent mark across a branch hanging just above the bubbling surface.
"Move the leaves," signed Leap.
"I can't," signed Snowborn, making it worse as his sign words unbalanced him.
Leap groaned and placed a paw on the branch, lowering it into the water to wash away the scent.
"You need to be careful," he signed when Snowborn had finished. "You splash everywhere. You need to hit the water dead on."
"I am careful. When's Mama coming home?"
"Soon."
"I'm hungry."
Leap dug up a patch of sweet vetch not far from the stream, and again he showed Snowborn how to clean the roots. The cub chewed while Leap searched for more.
"I don't like it,"
signed Snowborn.
"You liked it yesterday."
"I don't like it now. When's Mama coming home?"
Leap ignored him, turning back to his foraging. He took what he could, throwing a few roots in his brother's direction every now and then, but the vetch was only what was left from the last time they were there.
"We should go back," he signed.
Snowborn gathered up the last few roots, adding them to the fibrous mass already filling his mouth, and padded off in the direction of the cave. The vetch wouldn't satisfy him for long. Leap had found winterberry on his scentscape earlier.
They were somewhere nearby. His nose could sense the skin on the berries growing tighter as they swelled in the new waters of spring, sweetening from the frosts. They were close, maybe only 100 heartbeats or so from the cave entrance. It would be easy enough to take a quick detour on the way back. Snowborn was out of sight now, but still within Leap's scentscape, just the other side of the hill, almost back at the cave. The cave. There was something new in the scent from the cave, hiding beneath the familiar mix of fir and stone. He couldn't quite smell what it was, but he knew it was there. Not his mother. Not himself. Not Snowborn. It was another presence. Someone was at the cave. Panic hit him. He ran after Snowborn, catching the little bear not far from where the trees cleared and the cave mound came into view. He was trotting happily along the path, twisting on the spot as he went, tumbling and rolling on the uneven ground. Leap pinned the cub down with a paw to the shoulder, using the other to give the sign for silence. Snowborn understood at once.
What is it?
Leap lifted his head away from the fragrant earth and explored the higher air.
Someone else, he signed. Someone has come.
The bears kept low, treading carefully to hide their footsteps and avoiding the places where branches hung low over the path so that they would not leave their scent on the leaves. The scentscape became clearer as they got closer to the cave. There was definitely something there. More than one thing. Four? Maybe five? Three were the same species, a hog probably, or something very much like it. The fourth scent had a memory attached to it, but Leap couldn't yet recall what it was. He had come across it before, he knew he had, but he didn't dwell on it for long. The fifth scent drew his attention away. It was fainter than the others, as though the creature who had made it was no longer there, yet strong enough for Leap to know that it had been part of the group for some time. It was rich and dark and dangerous. Leap wanted to run, and for a moment he considered doing so, but then where would he run to? How would his mother find him again? No, he had to stay until he knew more. He rooted himself to the spot, trying to force the scentscape into better focus.
Who are they?
Signed Snowborn. Leap ignored him. A sixth scent had emerged, fainter than the others, yet somehow brighter. But this one, unlike the others, was not animal. This one was plant, but it wasn't of Northwood. Just like the others, this scent had no business being here. Still, there was something familiar about it, too. Stay still, he signed, and Snowborn lowered himself to the floor. Leap listened hard. There was no sound from the cave. Whatever the creatures were, they were not signing to each other, or at least were doing it very quietly. There was a sense of waiting over the place. Whoever they were waiting for the bears. We need to go, he signed.
What about Mama?
Signed Snowborn. We'll find her later, signed Leap. We can't go back now. We'll wait by the stream until she comes back.
She won't like having visitors, signed Snowborn.
Noise. A brush of leaf on the fir from the thicket behind them. Movement. 100 heartbeats south, maybe less. Something was stalking the undergrowth.
Go,
he signed, forcing his brother to his feet.
Where are we going? The stream's the other way.
Just go, he signed again, nudging him on. Leap led the way, skirting the brow of the hill and weaving between the trees to scatter their scent. They were making noise now. Not much, but enough for anything that was looking for them to know that they were on the move. They crossed a route they had taken the previous day, and Leap followed it a moment before jumping off to one side and doubling back on himself to confuse the scent trail. Snowborn followed him dutifully. There was the sound of running paws on a track behind them. Ahead, the branches were getting thicker, closing in on them from both sides until a few steps further on the branches met and wove into one dense mass. Leap could charge through, but the noise would be clear to whatever was on the path behind them. They would be found quickly. And then he would have no choice but to fight. He couldn't fight. Could he? He searched the thicket for a place to hide, found a gap and crawled inside. Snowborn climbed in beside him.
I want Mama,
he signed. Leap placed a paw over the cub's forelegs. Any movement now might give away their position. even just a sign word. They stayed there, breathing shallow, watching through the dry branches. A flash of grey appeared between the trees at the top of the hill, just as quickly disappeared. Leap felt his brother share a cacophony of images of ghosts and monsters stalking the forest scent paths, of gods who could kill you with a single sign word. The shape appeared again, closer this time. Again it vanished before Leap could look, but he knew it was the ghost scent he'd smelled with the other newcomers. This time he recognized her. It was Wolf. Their mother had warned them of the wolves of Northwood. "This is their bloodwood," she had told them. "We are on its edges, far away from any blood-marked tree, but the trees are still theirs. The creatures here still carry the mark of Blackthroat, who betrayed your father the first chance he got and sided with a three-horned traitor. As firstborn, Leap should have been king after his father fell, but the wolf lord of Northwood turned the moment the stag anointed himself against the trunk of the blood oak. Once the wolves turned, all was lost. If it hadn't been for the few who had remained faithful, the bears would never have made it out of the bloodwood. If this wolf stalking them now was one of Blackthroat's scouts, then more would follow. It would be the end of everything. The shape emerged again, closer still. It was tracking, nose to the ground, grey fur with dark brown patches on its back and paws. Leap sent his brother an image of stillness, but it wasn't needed. Snowborn was barely breathing. The wolf came to the spot where Leap had crossed their old path from yesterday and it followed. When it reached the point where Leap had doubled back, it stopped. It had noticed the change in potency. It knew that this was now an old scent path that lay ahead of it. It knew they had tried to trick it. Backtracked, weaving wider across the scent path this time. "It knows we left the path," signed Snowborn before Leap could stop him. The little bear was a muddle of images. Fear and worry and pictures of their mother flowed from him so noisily that Leap feared the wolf would pick up on it. "It was just one wolf," he told himself. If he had to fight, he'd stand a good chance against just one wolf, wouldn't he? His mother had been saying he was growing stronger. If he could hurt his mother in play, he could kill a wolf, couldn't he? Or, if not kill it, then hurt it enough that it would leave them alone. Then they could get away. Snowborn's breath had grown faster, louder. The wolf would have to be deaf not to hear it. The little bear would be a serious hindrance in a fight. How would Leap protect him? What if the wolf got hold of him? Snowborn was barely a few moons old. He wouldn't stand a chance. And, of course, even if Leap were to hold his ground, then there was always the chance that the wolf would get away. Leap couldn't outrun a wolf. It would get away. And then it would tell the world about them, and everything would be over. The Threehorn would descend upon their tiny sanctuary and crush them all. His mother could not stand against an entire army. They needed to escape, while they still had the chance. "We have to get through the thicket," he signed. "It'll hear us," signed Snowborn. "Then we need to go now, while it's still far away." "It will hear us! Go!" Leap turned and charged through the mesh of branches thick as the tree wall. Snowborn kept close, sticking to the path Leap was forcing through the thicket. If he was making it easier for Snowborn, the wolf would find it easy too. It would move quickly behind them, catching the cub first. Gods damn it, why hadn't Leap thought of that before he started moving? Then, but there was no other way. Leap imagined the wolf weaving through the branches, slipping closer as they pressed on. There was a break in the branches ahead. The thicket ended, opening into a small clearing where one of the ancient pines had fallen. Leap pushed through the final wall of sticks, turned and pulled Snowborn out by the scruff of his neck. "Get behind me," he signed, placing himself between the cub and the opening he had made in the thicket. When the wolf came out, he would attack. He had to. He wouldn't give it a chance. He would kill it there and then before it had a chance to escape. He signed for Snowborn to hide in the roots of the uprooted pine, and the little bear disappeared into the tangled mesh. Leap turned back to the thicket and prepared himself for battle. His heart was shaking his entire body. He hadn't fought anything before, not seriously. He'd tumbled with Greynose and Breakfoot, but never out of anger. Even here in the north, his scraps with his mother had only ever been in play. This would be the first time. This would be his first kill. He tensed, planning to pounce as soon as the thing emerged from the shadow. He would fight quickly. He would go for the neck. If he swiped hard enough, he could break it in one go. That's what his father would do. Don't think, he told himself. Just do. Don't think. Just do. The thicket quivered. There was a snapping of branches from inside. Leap's entire sensescape was focused on that thicket now, scouring the darkness inside for what was coming. There was fresh sap from the broken branches. There was upturned earth from where they'd crawled beneath the larger ones on their bellies. There was the trace scent memory of his own fur catching on thorns. He waited. Nothing emerged from the hole in the thicket. Maybe the thing had run. Maybe it'd seen him waiting. Maybe it had turned and backtracked to the rest of their unwanted guests. Maybe they were all coming this way now. Could he find them all? Should they run? There was a sound of heavy breath behind him. The thick pad of poor and forest soil. Of course. He would have seen him waiting. Gone around to find a better angle of attack. And here he was, staring into the darkness of the thicket. It must be almost on him now, ready with fang and claw and the momentum of its pounce. He span on the spot to face it and was met by a wall of familiar brown fur. Leap, signed his mother. What are you doing here? I told you to stay at the cave. It was as though the earth itself had opened up and sighed with relief. Snowborn scrambled from his hiding place and whirled his way to his mother, squealing with delight.
Mama, Mama, he sighed, tumbling around her. Mama, there was a wolf, but we scared it away.
A wolf? There are others by the cave, Leap signed, trying to keep his paws from shaking. Hogs, and something else.
Something else?
I couldn't work out what it was. We caught their scent, but we couldn't see them.
It was Badger, she signed.
Badger, he signed. Yes, it was Badger.
Really, Leap? Did you not recognize it?
You know. The mother bear did not reply, but lifted her head and tested the air. She huffed loudly twice in the direction of the fallen trunk in whose roots Snowborn had been hiding. A moment later, and the grey and brown wolf emerged to balance on top of the fallen tree.
Right tooth, signed her mother, calm and steady. You seem to have given my cubs quite the scare.
Two of the three hogs stood to attention when the bears came into view over the brow of the cave mound, but the third was upwind and didn't catch their scent until much later. None of them wore a blood mark. Not on shoulder, heart, or hind. Leap knew why. If they were caught, no one would know their allegiance. No one could be accused of plotting with them. Without the marks, Leap had no idea what rank they would have held back in Blackwood, but he thought the hogs acted like hind-marked creatures, judging by the way they backed off. He wondered what their reward would be once they returned from their mission. It was dangerous to wander the Bloodwoods unmarked. To risk their skin like that in service to the rightful king and his mother, they could surely expect a heart mark or higher. Right Tooth, the wolf, followed the bears at a short distance. His fur was also unmarked by any Bloodwood stain. Leap's mother had assured them that the wolf was a friend. But the yearling still felt uneasy, and kept himself between the wolf and his little brother. Wolves were supposed to be loyal. The wolves of Highwood had led him and his pregnant mother out of Farclaw's citadel and beyond the tree wall, setting them on the scent path that had brought them to this freezing prison of a Bloodwood. They were supposed to have been safe here in the north. The Lord of Northwood had taken the mark of the tree horn while they'd been travelling. If the messengers from Blackwood hadn't caught them in time, then they would have been recaptured the moment they arrived. It was Greymane's idea for them to keep going. The Badger told them to go past Blackwood and into the tall pines of Northwood, where they would hide under their enemy's nose. Leap saw the ease with which the wolf traversed the uneven ground. If the Lord of Northwood had changed her allegiance so easily, then so could this one. There was a scuffling from inside the cave. Before they reached the entrance, a rotund little body emerged from the darkness. It was Greymane, returned at last. Leap hadn't seen him since he deserted them at the cave before winter. He seemed thinner now, The fur on his shoulder was ragged and torn from where he had tried to remove his mark. Old blood marks were the toughest, layer upon layer, building up for years into a tough skin of hardened sap that even the river could not wash away.
"My lord Willowback," signed the badger.
"Greymane," signed their mother, towering over him.
"You've taken your time."
The badger's fur was fading around his head, more than Leap remembered, and he carried himself carefully as if the last half moon of travel had been hard on his old legs.
"Forgive me," sighed Greymane, stepping back. "I came as soon as it was safe."
"And you didn't think to send us any song? No message while we waited here, rotting like leaves in autumn?" The badger shrunk back.
"The Threehorn's been watching the scent paths closely," he sighed. "He has spies all over Blackwood and more in Northwood. Even sending a single song would have revealed your hiding place."
Snowborn had been jumping at one of the hogs, trying to get it to lose its footing and tumble over, but when the cub caught the sign word for song in his peripheral vision, he left his game and came lolloping over.
"Did you bring us some songs?"
he signed, barging between them. The badger took a step back, ducking its head as though expecting a swipe from the cub's sign words. There was a murmur among the hogs, surprised by the bear's uncouth behaviour. Leap felt pleased. Snowborn had been born here in their cave, and the cub had no idea of the formalities of court. And for him, all he saw were new playmates. He wasn't even afraid of the wolf, now that the mother had pointed it out as a friend. Leap's mother ignored the cub.
"Four moons, Greymane," she signed. "Four."
The badger held his trembling paw against where his mark had been in supplication. He stank of fear, Leap thought, sharp and pungent like milk mixed with dung. The smell seemed far deeper than it should have been, saturating every hair on the creature's back. It wasn't just the bear's mother leaning over him that was causing it. The smell clung to his fur like dried mud. He must have been living with the fear of this meeting for some time.
"I have brought a gift," signed Greymane, snouting their attention towards the cave. "A branch from Rawheart Citadel, inside the cave. The bloodfruit's still fresh."
Leap let out a gentle grunt of interest, and not just at the thought of tasting bloodfruit again, as much as it might make his mouth water. Rawheart Citadel was on the other side of Blackwood, days further away than the nearest border. It would have been far easier to take a branch from a closer bloodmark tree if all they intended was to bring an offering of food, but Greymane had chosen to take one from the Bloodwood tree itself, the same tree under which his mother had been born. It was a sign. It had to be. They wanted them to return. His mother recognized it too.
"Then it is time," she signed.
The badger bowed.
"I expected an army," she continued, looking out over the company. "Yet you bring me a single wolf and a few hogs." "We are in enemy territory," signed Greymane. "Northwood would notice if your entire host descended upon its bloodwood."
Leap's mother did not look impressed.
"There were a number of greenmasons with us as well," he added desperately. "They tended the branch."
"And what happened to them?" The hogs shifted uncomfortably around the cave entrance.
"It's a long way from the citadel," signed Greymane. "I myself suffered greatly, the smaller creatures even more so. In truth, it was unlikely that many would have survived the journey anyway. Those that fell along the way gave their bodies to ease the hunger for the rest of us. It's through their sacrifice that we were able to bring you this bloodfruit."
He touched the place his mark should have been in gentle respect. His mother snorted, but returned the gesture. Leap copied her, but in truth his mind was elsewhere. He was replaying the conversation he'd just witnessed in his head, thinking about the sign words his mother had made. One stood out more than any other.
Army. He knew what that meant.
With an army they could march on Highwood and throw the Threehorn Stag and all its marked creatures into the river and watch them wash away out of the Bloodwood, out of the kingdom, out of song and memory. It meant their waiting in this stink of a cave was over. He would never need to leave Highwood again. He'd be able to see Greynose and Breakfoot every day. He'd be home. The bear's mother looked serious now. "How many fighting animals have you assembled?"
"More than enough," signed the badger. "Your cousins have returned to Blackwood, bringing many loyal animals who fled to the frozen forest. They await you and the king in Blackwood."
"My cousins," signed Leap's mother. "I thought the frozen forest would kill them." Greymane looked uncomfortable.
"No," he sighed.
They all came back. They are strong, ready to fight.
All of them?
All.
Ready to fight?
Every one of them.
Leap's mother turned from the badger and scanned her eyes over the hogs, eventually resting them on the wolf.
Right, Tooth, she sighed. You did not come with us when we came from Highwood.
I'm not a Highwood wolf.
Leap waited for the beast to sign more. His mother seemed to expect it too. But the wolf gave no further information.
My lord will lay back,
sighed the badger, chirping back the attention of those gathered there.
You must forgive our brevity. We've come a long way, and the hospitality of these parts of Northwood is somewhat lacking.
Lacking, sighed the mother bear, rearing up on her hind legs, finally giving her forelegs the freedom to sign without encumbrance.
I've been here for 4 moons with 2 cubs to feed. She slapped out the words against her colossal body. There isn't a blood-marked tree for a day's walk in any direction, she sighed. No blood fruit, no way of living except by the claw. I had to kill Greymane. Every day, hunting stinking rats and squirrels to keep my family from hunger blight. Such things were once beneath me, but now I find myself scratching in the dirt for food like a hindmark fool. We have eaten every root and shoot we could find without ever having a herbright to show us which to take and which to leave in the soil. We have churned the earth like the mindless, searching for anything to fill our bellies. More than once I had to weigh the chance of poison against the certainty of starvation, and more than once I was not sure which was the worse. Do you have any idea how that feels? I have nursed my young in the bloodwood of my enemy, never sure if death was waiting in the shadows with nothing to protect them save my own teeth. 4 moons, Greymane. 4 moons while you feasted in Rawhart Citadel, taking your time. And now you finally decide to earn that mark on your shoulder. You come here with a few fat pigs and 1 single scrawny wolf, and you dare to talk to me about the hospitality of Northwood. Northwood is a grave, and I am sick of digging for worms.
The badger retreated to the mouth of the cave, whimpering pitifully and casting his own water into the well-trodden winter mud beneath his feet. The hog scattered as the hulking bear reared closer, her forearms slashing out sign words against her broad chest. Only the wolf, Right Tooth, seemed unfazed. He watched from his perch above the cave, strangely relaxed for all the squeals and squeaks the others were making. Snowborn was screeching with the rest of them, his eyes wide with panic. For a heartbeat, the mother bear seemed not to notice, but then the sound of her cub caught something inside of her. She fell back to all fours, panting heavily. The other animals settled back into stillness like water after a sinking stone. It was a credit to them that they had not run. Even Leap had struggled to keep his footing. His mother had not been like this before. Even when they had fled from Highwood, as the stag's forces breached the tree wall and took the remaining green gates, even then, while the other headmarked were herding their families to the safety of the citadel and the last of their father's guard ran for their lives, even then she had not acted like this. She had simply heaved her swollen body from the dell and strolled out along the secret paths with all the calm and dignity of a summer evening, sharing pictures with Leap as they went. Pictures of the time they had played in the boulders of Ulrock, and he had gotten himself stuck on one of the bigger rocks, unable to get himself down without her help. Or when the singers of Saltwood had visited, and the little hedgehog who had danced the bark and the magpie had forgotten his sign words and just stood there terrified before his headmarked audience. Memories to distract her son from the stench of panic erupting all around them.
My lord Willowback, sighed the badger, nothing we can bring you can make up for your loss. You've lost a kingdom and a mate. You're living in a bloodwood that's not your own, with 2 cubs and no Highmark creatures to serve you. In all truth, it is a wonder you survived at all. I say this not because I doubt you, but because I do not think I could have survived in a place like this all on my own, let alone with 2 hungry mouths to feed. Yet it is clear you have thrived. You are strong, and your children are growing. Snowborn is healthy and strong and full of life. Leap is almost fully grown, barely a year from adulthood. Who else but the daughter of Blackwood and the chosen mate of the king could have done this?
Leap's mother was pacing back and forth before the cave. Something seemed off. Something within her was raging, fighting to get out. Every now and then her paws flashed into half-formed signed words before she turned and paced back the way she'd come. The hogs shifted uneasily. They would be thinking about how long the bears had been here in the wilderness, far from the nearest blood-marked tree. They would know the risk of hunger blight. The bears have been here in the north for 4 moons, more than enough time for the blessing of the bloodwood to fade. Leap thought back, trying to remember the last time he had seen her eat anything that wasn't root and stem. And he couldn't. Not one time. Greymane looked to the wolf for support, but Right Tooth just stood there above the cave entrance. Leap followed his gaze. The wolf had said he was not a wolf of Highwood, yet he was clearly not a wolf of Northwood either, at least not one loyal to the Lord of the Bloodwood. He must be from Blackwood. That meant he should be loyal to Leap's mother, but there was something wrong with the wolf's smell. There was some scent in his fur that set Leap on edge. The wolf stared back down at the young bear, revealing nothing. Finally, his eyes drifted back to the mother bear.
"My Lord Willowback," signed Greymane, chirping for her attention. "Please, I know how difficult this has been for you, but it's over. It's time to return. Your people wait for you. Please, come inside. Eat. Be refreshed. Please."
Leap's mother stopped her pacing. "Yes," she signed. "Yes. It's time." She straightened herself, eyes fixed on some unseen distant point.
"The daughter of Blackwood will receive her Bloodwood's offering. My children, Leap, Snowborn, inside. It is time to eat."
The mother bear ducked her head as she entered the cave and Snowborn tottered in after her. The wolf above the entrance turned and disappeared, slipping beneath the brow of the hill and into the pines beyond. The badger stayed by the cave mouth, waiting for Leap to follow his mother, but the yearling sensed the tension that still hung outside the cave. Even without the wolf there, there was a tremor of expectation rumbling between the hogs. They must be excited about the idea of having their rightful lord return to their bloodwood, Leap thought. Like him, they must yearn to retake the kingdom and restore his family's rule. Maybe this was the moment they had waited for since the three-horned stag had risen up against his father, the reason they had carried the Bloodwood branch halfway across the kingdom on their hidden scent parts. And yet, the wolf had wandered off without them. And if the hogs were excited to begin the journey home, then why were they so uneasy? Leap shook the doubt from his mind. No, he decided. Of course they were excited. They'd given up their blood marks for this covert mission. They would not risk their lives if they did not believe in it. This was the moment of celebration, he decided. This was the day his life would begin again, first in Blackwood and then, with an army behind him, onwards to Highwood to reclaim what was rightfully his, to press his head against the sap of the blood oak and retake his father's crown. It was finally time. He followed his mother inside. The branch had been laid towards the back of the cave. The light of midday did little to penetrate the darkness, but Leap could hear and smell what his eyes could not sense. There was the scent of wet moss bound tight on the branch's stump. Its leaves were already changing the scent of the cave, freshening it like the first rains of spring. Beneath that was the acid tang of the fruit, fresh and vibrant. The lives of Greymane's greenmasons had been well spent. The branch could have been stripped from the tree that very morning. The blackwood roots stained their leaves far deeper than any other bloodwood in the kingdom. His mother told him the blood marks rose from the earth like the shadows of evening, and from a distance the bark looked cracked and broken as though the trunks had split open to reveal a hollow darkness at their core. Before the bloodwood had been gifted to the blackwood badgers, it had belonged to his mother's family. Generations of blackwood bears lay buried among the roots. Maybe they would guide him through its secret places like the bones of his father's family did in Highwood. The Bloodwood Tree of Blackwood was a yew, its berries dark like night. In the darkness of the cave, Leap could smell where the swollen skins had split, releasing the tumescent flesh and filling the cave with the pungent perfume of fresh blood. His mother shuffled nearer the branch, sniffing noisily at the offering. She seemed calmer now, more collected than she had been outside the cave. Greymane stood against the wall, watching her. The extra body, even one as small as Greymane's, made Leap realize just how small their living space was. He felt suddenly crowded by the badger. The creature was too close to him, too close to the place where he slept, too close to the place where he sniffed at the cave walls. A stink of fear would infect them. The next time Leap scratched at the rock, he would get nothing but badger. He wanted to push the creature out of the way to make him leave the cave and never come back. What a stupid thought, he realised. Soon they would all leave the cave and never come back. That was the point. That was why the badger was here in the first place, to take them home. He closed his nose to the creature's presence and turned to his mother. She was still standing before the branch, Snowborn squeezing between her legs, excited by the new scents brought to his world. He had never seen a bloodwood branch before. Leap could sometimes smell the bloody cones of Northwood when the air was clear, but it was at least a day's walk from their cave to the nearest bloodmarked tree, and there was no way Snowborn would recognise it. Now a bloodwood branch was here, in his own cave. Not a highwood branch, but a bloodwood branch, nonetheless, saturating his senscape with the perfume of ripe bloodfruit. The little bear stepped closer, his nose drinking the lurid scent like water from a river. Leap felt it too, the urge to eat. It had been long since he had tasted the bloodfruit of highwood. The berries here smelled different to the acorns of home, sweeter somehow, but they still retained the same depth of concentrated flesh as though the bodies of 100 different unmarked creatures had been pressed into one single fruit. It pulled him closer like breath draws the air. He moved to join his brother, but his mother shifted her weight and put herself between him and the branch. Her paw was holding back Snowborn. She dropped it to Cyan. The little bear stayed where he was. "What did they promise you, Greymane?" For a heartbeat, Greymane looked confused, as though the darkness of the cave had caused him to misread the bear's sign words.
"My lord," he signed carefully, "I am not sure I understand."
"Before I mated with the great bear, I lived in Blackwood," she signed, and at the same time Leap felt her send a sudden image of silence and stillness. She was giving him a message, without letting the badger know. Snowborn seemed to receive the same image. Gently, slowly, Leap nudged the little bear back against the cave wall, out of his mother's way.
"I was born there," she continued, stepping past her children. "Rawhart's Citadel was my home. I had a dell there, the branches of the bloodwood tree spreading out above me. I slept in its shade, and every day it would bless me with its fruit. I had green masons who would run the branches for me, bringing me the best the gods could offer. Every day, Greymane. The smell of bloodberries was as familiar to me as the smell of my own mother. More so, even."
The badger was backing away, edging towards the mouth of the cave. Leap's mother noticed. In one sudden dive, she scooped him up with her paw and pinned him against the cave wall. There was a crack, like the snapping of a branch, and the badger's eyes strained in their sockets, the air pushed effortlessly from his lungs by their mother's paw.
"My lord Willowback,"
he signed, his paws frantic with pleading. He tried to bark for help from those outside the cave, but pain shook his face. Their mother raised her paw and steadied his trembling head before signing.
"Do you think I could not smell the poison? Did you think I would not know the tree that raised me?"
She twisted the paw with which she held him, and the badger writhed once more. Snowborn whimpered. "Turn away," Leap signed, nudging him gently towards the wall. His mother somehow caught his sign words. "No," she signed. "I wanted to see this." She turned back to where she pinned the badger against the wall.
"He should know what we do with traitors."
She twisted her paw, and there was another crack from the badger's chest.
"You have desecrated the tree of my ancestors," she sighed. Twist. "You have poisoned its bloodfruit." Crack. "You have insulted the gods with your treachery." Twist.
The badger's eyes bulged from his skull like worms from the earth.
"You will not breathe again, Greymane. You have already taken your final breath. But your passing may yet be eased. You may yet regain a taste of your previous honor." Crack. "Tell me, what did the Threehorn offer you to betray your lord and king? What gift could he possibly offer to make you forget your gods?"
There's a sound of bone grinding against bone. The badger's paws flailed once more, and then finally formed themselves into the semblance of words.
"Not the Threehorn,"
he sighed. The bear, the white fur, please, my lord, I cannot breathe.
The white fur.
He came from the forest, killed the badger lords, crowned himself against the bloodwood tree. Please, my lord, it hurts.
Blood frothed at Greymane's mouth. Willowback did not move. Her grip on the badger stayed steady, even as the badger's writhing shook her foreleg. Snowborn bleated quietly.
Mama,
he signed, drawing his mother's attention.
Mama, please, you're hurting him.
Leet stilled his brother's paws. Their mother turned back to the badger. The creature's sign words were slow now, clumsy. Leet could no longer make sense of them. Tell me about this white fur, she signed. Their mother watched the creature struggle against her paw, but the thing could no longer reply. Its air-starved brain was too far gone. Its head was straining upwards as though it were underwater, swimming to the surface for air. Their mother sighed. It was over. She'd get no more out of him. In one smooth movement, she leaned in, clasped the badger's throat in her jaws, and eased it effortlessly from the creature's body, the skin yielding like loose soil scooped from the earth. There was blood on the walls of the cave, on its roof, on their mother's face. The body dropped to the floor. Their mother stood back to let them see. It was not Greymane now. Did not look like him. Did not even smell like him. Could it ever have been him? Now, all the cubs could smell was the rich darkness of fresh meat. She began moving towards the cave mouth. Leap bleated for her attention.
Where are you going?
He signed, suddenly afraid. The huge bear looked back over her cubs, her mouth glistening in the cave light. Leap sent her a picture of the hogs waiting outside the cave, of the wolf hidden in the forest. She took his picture, and a heartbeat later returned him a different image. An image of blood, and rage, and vengeance. It is a long way to Blackwood, signed his mother, her shoulders shivering in anticipation. And I am hungry. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.